Happy Friday, folks. A global beverage giant acquires a taste for coffee. And how many people still use checkbooks? This is the Marketplace Morning Report live from the BBC World Service. I'm Anu Anand. Good morning. Got your morning coffee? Well, now so does Coca-Cola. The Atlanta-based drinks maker announced this morning it plans to buy the Costa coffee chain for just more than $5 billion. The BBC's Victoria Craig has more.
The deal for Costa ends its parent company's 23 years of ownership. Whitbread bought the coffee company for $25 million in 1995 and grew the brand from just 39 shops to now more than 1,400 across the world. Whitbread's decision to exit the coffee business comes as activist shareholders have pressured it to focus on Premier Inn, its faster-growing UK hotel business. For Coca-Cola, the transaction allows for an expansion into hot beverages, one of the few categories it doesn't already have a global presence. The coffee segment has been ripe for deal-making in recent years. Nestle already has a stake in California-based Blue Bottle, and this year bought rights to sell Starbucks products. This summer, JAB Holding, which already owns Keurig Green Mountain, Peet's, Caribou Coffee, and Espresso House, added sandwich chain Pret A Manger to its portfolio in a bid to boost its coffee business. News of Coke's Costa buy sent shares of Whitbread up as much as 18% on the London Stock Exchange. In London, I'm the BBC's Victoria Craig for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. Global stocks are capping off the week on a downbeat note. Fresh pain in emerging markets and renewed worries over global trade are rattling investors. President Trump has threatened to leave the World Trade Organization and implement a further $200 billion of tariffs on Chinese imports. And that's as the U.S. negotiates a new trade pact with its North American neighbors. Now, the Argentine peso has fallen a staggering 108% against the U.S. dollar so far this year. Yesterday, the country's central bank raised rates for the fifth time since April from 45 to 60%. Argentina is Latin America's third largest economy and has already seen financial crises. Michael Hewson is chief market analyst at CMC Markets.
Well, Argentina is battling two problems. It's battling a struggling economy, but also it's one of a number of emerging market economies that borrowed dollars at very, very low rates, simply because it was cheaper to borrow money in dollars than it was in any other currency. Now they've got a problem whereby Mr. Macri is trying to reform the economy at a time when US funding costs for those dollar-denominated loans are going up, simply because the US Federal Reserve is on a rate hiking cycle, which means the cost of rolling over those loans becomes that much more expensive, but also at a time when confidence in the stewardship of these emerging market economies is declining, and that's causing an outflow of funds, not only from, say, for example, the Argentine peso, but also other emerging market economies as well.
Now, you mentioned Argentina's economic internal problems. I mean, the real problem is basically that it spends more than it collects. Too many people don't pay their taxes. Are we expecting serious reform now, given the kind of bind Argentina has got itself into?
Well, we are, but it's going to be very, very painful because Mr. Macri has gone to the IMF for a $50 billion loan. The fact that he's come back to say that he'd like the money an awful lot quicker has been a red flag to markets that things could be much worse. The inflation is already at 31%.
Now, along with the Argentine peso, we've seen the Indian rupee trading at a record low, and you've also had the Turkish lira falling. Is it the same problem that affects all of these currencies?
It is to a greater or lesser extent. These countries all have their unique problems. Other countries to keep an eye out on over the coming weeks will include South Africa, Ukraine, India, and Indonesia, because they all have high levels of dollar-denominated loans.
Michael Hewson. A checkbook printing company was in the news this week here in Britain because of a labour strike. But wait a minute, people still use checks? The BBC's personal finance reporter Kevin Peachy is here. Now, Kevin, the last time I wrote a check was to my kids' school, but even they've gone online in the last couple of months. I wonder if people even in the company write checks. You
know? And they get paid, of course.
Yeah, I mean, how much are people using checks? I know in developing economies, they obviously still use things like checks, but even India's kind of leaping into the future.
If you look at somewhere like Africa, mobile technology really allowed people to transfer money very easily and conveniently. And I think that is where it's going. And yet, in the UK, there's still 405 million checks processed last year. And now that's not that many per person, but it is still a large number. There are people who still feel comfortable in writing checks. They're not so comfortable in the new technology that may be the alternative. And actually, that's the reason why in the UK they've survived when a few years ago the industry was saying we're going to phase them out.
So is it just kind of people who aren't online using them, or do they kind of still have a place in day-to-day business?
Yeah, well, there's certainly people using them for convenience, yeah, school trips, window cleaners. An interesting point, of course, what happens to the giant check if you win the lottery and there's the pictures taken?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's not going to look very good if you've got a computer sitting there and someone presses enter. But there is still, for example, in the UK, the UK's tax authority, their default option for paying a tax refund is still by check.
They're going to finally go away, aren't they? What happens in the future?
There may well come a time when it feels as though electronic transfer is just more convenient than paying by check, and cheaper and clearly quicker. But here's where there's some innovation. In the UK, by the end of this year, the banks are going to say you can take a picture of your check and then put it onto a secure app, and that'll be done in a day. So we may still well be using checks for some time yet.
Kevin Peachey there. Finally, wish it could be summertime forever. Apparently so does the European Union. Its commission president, in an interview with a German broadcaster, said a public consultation revealed millions oppose clock changes for daylight savings time. They want to be on the summertime clock. Amen to that. I'm Anu Anand with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.